Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Well, Joe Judge, the Giants coach, is well aware of Philadelphia because he's from here. So I think he gets it. And I actually really like the way that guy presented himself at his press conference when he joined the Giants. I actually am sort of in a roundabout way rooting for that guy, but I can't root for the Giants. So, I mean, what does the guy do? It's a division up for grabs. We know that. Let's go out on the Swartz-Culleton guest line right now. If you're injured at work, get justice. Call Swartz-Culleton at 800-JUSTICE. Talk to our next guest. He joins us every Tuesday at this time. He's the host of the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. And, of course, you can follow his work on Twitter at Ross Tucker NFL, Mr. Ross Tucker. What's up, Ross?
Hey, fellas, how are you?
Hi, Ross.
Wonderful, man. You know, the Eagles are still alive, 1-4-1, and they got a great shot, you know?
You know what? It sounds weird to say, and I know our expectations are higher, and they should be, but given the way the season started, and certainly the loss to Washington, the tie against the Bengals, in some weird way, when you consider that at the end of the game on Sunday, they had two starters still left from the opener. I mean, literally, Jason Kelce and Carson Wentz, that's it. Down three wide receivers, their top three receivers, down their top two tight ends, down seven of their top eight offensive linemen. The way they kept battling, we all wish they were better. And this isn't like Pop Warner, right? There's no, like, moral victories. But I will say that the team in general, and Carson Wentz in particular, they at least represent Philadelphia
yeah.
in terms of the fight and what we want to see from them. They, you know, I grew up here. You guys know the way it is. Nobody wants to lose, but they'd almost rather guys going out there spilling their guts to try to win like Wentz does. Then, you know, guys not putting everything out there. Maybe they win, but the guy's not giving the full effort, and you can see it. So they have given us the Niners win, the Steelers game, the Ravens game. Yeah. I thought they were going to lose the Ravens by 40 points.
It looked like it was going to be an all-time bad loss. And then they righted the ship to the point where it became competitive. Ross, let's get to this because Doug was asked this, and I'm curious your answer to this. Why do they have success offensively in Carson in the second half and week after week struggle in the first half? And how can they unmuck that?
It's a really good question. And I'm not sure I have a great answer to it other than it feels like it's a little bit less programmed in the second
no
half.
No question.
You know, this goes back to Frank Reich and John DeFilippo. If you remember, 2017, they're like scripted plays. They would score every week. Every week it seemed like they would score on their first and second drive. They'd have the lead, and that's why they were awesome.
But Ross, isn't that what well-coached teams do? Like, I watched the 49ers go out against the Rams and drive it right down their throats to start the game. Well-coached team. Like, I feel like that gives me confidence in the staff, offensively speaking, when that happens. And the fact that it doesn't happen for us, that's a real knock.
Well, and you're right. It is a knock. It's not good because it's actually been like 3 years now.
Right.
18, 19, and this year where it doesn't seem like they ever score on their first drive. And I don't, you know, it's funny, John, I guess you could do it either way. You could say that they don't do a good job during the week of preparing the first 15, the script, the guys get in the hotel the night before the game. Or you could flip it the other way and say it shows that Doug Peterson and his staff make good halftime adjustments. I mean, you could spin that one either way, I guess.
I don't know. Well, if you came back at me with the good halftime adjustments, I would say, well, in these last couple of games, the teams we were playing felt like the game was in hand, and they eased off.
Well, it's certainly an issue, and look, it's a big reason why the record hasn't been as good the last couple of years as it was in 17. It's a lot easier to play with a lead. You know, the D-line, like the team is set up to play with a lead because of how much they've invested in the D-line. The D-line's not there to be trying to stop four-minute offenses late in the game. It's just not the way they're designed.
All right, Ross Tucker with us. Let's go to the phones right now. We'll make some calls while we talk to Ross about all these Eagles issues. Talk to Hassan in South Philly. Hey, Hassan.
How you doing, Jan?
Hi, Hassan.
I'm sorry, Joe.
All good, buddy. Doing well, man.
Oh, yeah, I just wanted to make a comment on the situation with Doug and Carson. I feel like by Carson not being the natural quarterback, he bails Doug out on some of the bad decisions because we focus on a lot of mistakes that he may make, minor or major mistakes, and I feel like that falls back on coaching. But I feel like Doug, if you think back to the playoffs last year, when he had McCown in, I think he gets so stuck in his system that he don't want to change. So even though the game or the feel for the game or the game is not going in the direction of his system, I feel like he gets stuck there opposed to making game time game time adjustments.
Like, well, but Hassan, here's the thing that works a little bit against that. They succeed in the second half, and they don't succeed in the first half. So obviously, Doug's doing something with adjustments. I mean, he's got to be.
I feel like he's not adjusting to his players, though. Like, I feel like he came out and played, like, adjusted to Carson game. Like, they got so engraved in getting Zach Ertz the ball that they didn't throw Fulgham the ball, and they just kept forcing it to Ertz opposed to just letting it come with the flow of game.
Well, they were clearly trying to get Ertz going, and Doug admitted as much afterwards, which, you know, to me seems like a reasonable thing to do to try to get him moving, get him going. I mean, I guess you're thinking square.
Why? If it's not working, though.
Because I think it can work, and so you're trying to jumpstart it. You're trying to jumpstart an engine. The engine can work. It just needs a jumpstart.
It is stubborn. When you keep going, and it's not like teams are – not every team is going to have a Marlon Humphreys like cornerback,
right,
who's big enough to roll with against a tight end in man coverage to be able to do that. But teams aren't getting fancy with Zach Ertz now. Once upon a time, they would try to clamp him and have a couple guys responsible for him. Now it's just like teams are saying, well, he's not gonna overpower anybody anyway. We're treating him like a wide receiver. We're going to put a cornerback on him and ask him to try to beat man coverage, and he's just not.
Yeah, Hassan, give me a great combo.
Cookies and cream.
All right, man, you got it.
Good. Nice.
I had made the point earlier, Ross, in the week, and then, earlier in the week, yesterday I made the point that to me, if I'm Doug – I'll speak from my standpoint. This is exhibit A of why the game that happened versus the Ravens, of why Howie Roseman is far more culpable than Doug Peterson. So, like, taking it to the next level, if I'm Doug or I'm his agent, if Jeffrey Lurie was thinking of firing one, Doug or Howie, if I'm Doug or the agent of Doug, I'd be like, are you kidding me? You're thinking about firing me, not Howie, when – I had bad personnel entering the season. I now am down to direct personnel because of injuries. And you might think about firing me, and I got us to the point where we lost the Baltimore Ravens by 2 points. What's your reaction to that, Ross?
My reaction would be I genuinely do not think that firing either one of those guys should be on the table right now. I understand that everybody wants accountability for a disappointing season. Number one, let's see how the rest of the season plays out. But your point, Joe, for them to do what they just did against Pittsburgh, Baltimore, and San Francisco, especially Pittsburgh. I mean, San Francisco, they get the win, who just beat the Rams, by the way. And Baltimore and Pittsburgh, two teams that are really good, both in the top four of the power rankings I do on the Ross Tucker podcast, and, by the way, are a lot healthier. And the Eagles went toe-to-toe with both of them with, you know, two starters left, the center and the quarterback. I think that's a feather in Doug's cap. But I'd also say, how do you really judge Howie Roseman with that many guys getting hurt? Like, it's not, I mean, look, if you can, it's one thing to say DeSean Jackson's old, and I think even Howie Roseman would admit the Alshon Jeffrey contract extension was a really poor decision.
Yeah, it was.
Really poor. I mean, yeah. I mean, I think he would even at this point say that.
No question.
But for the rest of the roster, I don't know, Slay's playing well. Hargrave's playing well. I mean, Mailata for a seventh-round pick? That was a great seventh-round pick. So I think you can – I mean, it's really, in all sincerity, it's really hard to evaluate either one of those guys all that much right now with what they've got put out there. Now, hopefully some of these guys, as they come back, you know, that might change things. As they get some of these guys back from injury, Goddard, DeSean Jackson – Alshon Jeffrey, then it's a little bit more of a fair evaluation process for both Peterson and Roseman.
I'll tell you why I disagree with you on Howie. I mean, sure, there's some compromised stuff, there's no doubt. And yes, the team's less with unexpected injuries like Ertz and Goddard and stuff like that. But Peters, he caved to Peters on the money. That's a mess, and I didn't like it at all. You know, the reality is that, you know, there's issues at cornerback, not so much on this team, but let's put it this way. They could have been better had they drafted better at that spot when they had the opportunity with Sidney Jones and Rasul Douglas. You know, the backup running backs are disastrous this year. These guys are horrible this year. Now, I'll always love Corey Clement, but I guess it's over. I don't know. We'll find out on Thursday night what he's got and what Boston Scott have. It looks bad. That's a Howie Roseman choice to say, going into training camp, my two is Boston Scott, my three is Corey Clement. I mean, yes, there are injuries, but there are also, you know, there's no linebackers. I mean, let's have five high-priced defensive linemen and zero even medium-priced linebackers. That's a choice by the general manager. So, I mean, even though there are injuries and it clouds things, it doesn't, for me, completely wash away his mistakes, which are a lot more than just he made one bad decision on Alshon's contract, which he clearly did, but I think he made a lot of other bad decisions also, Ross. That's how I see it.
Yep. So, and I think those are all fair, Joe. I guess they all have a batting average, right?
Right.
Every single front office executive in the league has a batting average. So everyone that you just named, the linebackers for sure, Peters for sure, but they were a little bit desperate after Brandon Brooks got hurt. They were going to bring Peters back.
So
what else did you want them to do? I really wasn't clamoring for them to bring in some old running back. When based on what Boston Scott had done last year, I didn't think that they needed to have a second running back. And really, other than the long runs by Miles Sanders, because the O-line, even Miles Sanders hasn't been effective. So, again, they all have a batting average. I can go through and give you the hits recently for Howie.
Yeah.
I think that, unfortunately, there have been probably more misses than hits over the last couple years. But, like, I don't know. Hightower looks pretty good for a fifth-round pick. He gets, you know, in my mind, guys, and people, this frustrates me. If you're going to kill him for Arcega Whiteside, and Arcega Whiteside does not look like he's going to work out, he's getting less snaps than Quez Watkins and Hightower, fifth- and sixth-round rookies, right?
Right.
So it's fair to kill Howie for that and criticize him for that. But then you have to give him the credit for getting Folgum, for finding Folgum. I mean, it's his department that finds Folgum.
And Mailata.
Right.
Yeah, no, you're right about that. It's 94 WIP HD1 Philadelphia. Joe Cameron, John Ritchie from the Tasty Cake Studio. Ross Tucker with us for an entire hour, as he is every Tuesday, 12:45 to 1:45. Let's go to Matt in Washington Crossing. Hey, Matt.
Gentlemen, how are you this afternoon?
Doing
good.
Well,
what's
Matt?
Up, Matt?
One of the things, Joe, I love where you are on your culpability for Howie Roseman. I've been banging the table for a couple weeks on this, and I want to pick up on something Ray Dinger said a couple weeks ago on his outlook on the season. And he made a comment about, you know, where is the young talent? And I think that we can all agree that there isn't enough young talent on this team.
Yep.
And so, you know, for me, I think we talked about how terrible this division is. And the Eagles have a chance to win it. And I think, to me, winning the division is almost a penalty. You lose the division, you have a top 10 pick. And before I continue, I'm not in for tanking games. It's not what I'm suggesting. Don't win the division, top 10 pick. Win the division, it's almost in the 20s.
Yep.
And I think all of the teams that are in this division now are having talent issues and problems. I wanted to get your thoughts on what you think about how big this disparity is and what's on the line for, you know, if you win, you're picking in the 20s. And again, you know, we currently have somebody who I don't think does a good enough job of picking the talent. So whoever picks the talent aside, I think you have a better chance to do the roster overhaul that's needed when you're picking higher, not winning this division. None of these teams.
All right, great points, great questions. So two things. I think your thing about the top 10 pick is, I mean, it's spot on. It's something to be considered. But there's a greater thing, I think, than even the top 10 pick thing, which is, and I wonder where fans come down on this, to what extent fans would prefer the Eagles not win the division at 5-10-1, because not winning it could be a pathway to Jeffrey Lurie saying Howie Roseman and Doug yes. Peterson got to go. Right. Now, I'm not saying I'm there, but I'm telling you guys like John Ritchie.
I'm saying I'm a lot closer to that.
Yeah, a lot of people are there. And that to me, at least as I perceive the way people think, is an even greater prize than moving up from the 22nd pick in the draft to the 10th pick in the draft.
I wholeheartedly agree with you. I do consider that a prize. I think, sadly, I want the wheels off the bus so Howie Roseman goes, because I don't think this team gets where it needs to be until somebody else is pulling the levers.
And by the way, just to use as an example, and I think it's a really fair example, had the Phillies won that last game of the season, they're a playoff team at, well, I guess it would have been 29-31. They're a playoff team. Now, what does John Middleton do with Matt Klintak if they had made the playoffs? We don't know the answer to that question.
Well, Matt Klintak's still here.
No, but he's not. Yeah, but you know my point. He's not the general manager. So
what are we talking about right now? John, you want Howie Roseman and Doug Peterson both out?
I'm not saying it's time for that. I'm saying I believe we could have a better shot at rebuilding this thing, because I think it's rebuilding time.
Okay, so I have a question.
Ross, hang on one second real quick. I'm going to get that. Matt, give me a great combo.
I have two things that are intrinsically linked. You can't have one without the other, and that is yin and yang.
You got it, Matt. Or as I called it, yin and yang.
Yeah, yeah.
I said yin and yang. All right, Ross, go ahead to John.
What are we doing here? I'm about to get angry right now.
Go for it.
So first of all, they won the Super Bowl 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. 2 years ago, they went to the divisional round of the playoffs, and if Alshon Jeffrey doesn't drop a pass, they probably go back to the NFC Championship game.
Oh, don't say that. You know that's not true.
What are you talking about? If Alshon Jeffrey doesn't drop a pass,
they win that game against the Saints?
Yes! They were going in for the game-winning touchdown. What are you talking about? And then, last year, they win the division again, host a home playoff game, and who knows what happens if Wentz doesn't get concussed by Clowney in the first quarter. And because they're having a down year where they have two starters left on offense, I've already detailed it twice, you want a clean house?
They've had a down year 3 years in a row now.
Oh, my God. This is crazy.
We had a great year in 2017, and Howie was perfect. Doug was perfect. Carson was perfect until he got hurt. Sometimes players have great years. It doesn't make them great players. Sometimes general managers have great years. It doesn't make them great GMs. And same with coaches. Doug had a great year once. He's far from infallible, and he's showing us that he doesn't have the chops that I thought he did. Same with Carson. Same with Howie.
Ross, your retort?
Yeah, I think it's really surprising. It's really disappointing. I'll tell you what they do. Okay?
Yeah, it is disappointing.
I'll tell
year
you what they do.
Year after year. That's what we got. That's what we're stuck with until we make a change here.
John, you think the last 2 years are really disappointing?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. You know, don't you remember what it was like to be a player? You know how hard it is to go to the playoffs every year, to win divisions, to win playoff games? You know what they do? They fight the rest of the year. They win the division again. Hopefully more people are allowed in the stadium. They get in the playoffs. They try to make a run. And then they change the roster a little bit, get younger in the offseason. And then next year is the year when Roseman and Peterson are on the hot seat going into the year. But to talk about that now I think is crazy. I think they fight and they get their fourth straight playoff berth. You're talking about Klentak. The Phillies haven't done anything in forever. These guys, Roseman and Peterson, I'm not even saying they've been great, but I think it's way, way, way premature right now.
Well, that's
to
the
be
problem.
Talking about
that's
that
the
change.
Problem that there are people who think like you do. Like, it's premature. We've seen this team stink for the first three quarters of the last two seasons. We've seen them be undermanned and soft, and that's what they are until it's almost too late. This year they will dig a hole that it is too late in any division other than the NFC East, and somehow they have a chance to win that thing and go to the playoffs again. So they will, in all likelihood, be around again next year. Like, when will it be enough for you to say Doug's not a good enough coach and Howie's not a good enough GM?
All right, look, 215-5. Hold on,
let's
one second.
See how next year goes.
215-592-9494. Because I'm really interested to how people react to this back and forth here between John and Ross. Which, by the way, we might have to set up a tug of war. Seltzer, can we have an actual tug of war? One former NFL player against another former
cool.
NFL player.
Be in on that.
Can I tell you right now? Yeah. I like my chances in that. Ooh. Because last time I saw John, he's gotten really thin.
Yeah.
And unfortunately,
physics.
With all the traveling I do, I'm going the wrong way on that. And I was like, tug of war was my jam. So hopefully the listeners tug my way. This is
wow.
I think this is crazy.
Now,
tough.
Are you calling John as light as Ike Reese, backup linebacker? Like, are you saying he's that light?
No, I'm saying last time I saw pictures of John, he was a lot thinner.
Yeah.
I'm also saying this.
I'm like
when we come back to Joe, I want to hear what the listeners say, okay? But I also want John to tell me who the coach is and who the GM is that he's hiring this offseason that are better, that he knows are better than Howie Roseman, Doug Peterson. Because this is like the fan thing. Just fire him. Just fire everybody.
But okay, Ross, there's always someone new.
Okay, who?
I don't know, but I'll tell you this. People didn't know Lombardi was going to be Lombardi until he gets a shot. I mean, you know. So my point is, sure, John can maybe come up with a list, but I'll say this in his defense to your question. You never know who the next guy is going to be that's great, but it's your job to figure it out. It's not John's job exactly to know the assistant coaching world of the NFL and who it should be.
I think if he wants to fire Super Bowl champion head coach and GM who have had their team go to the playoffs three straight years, I think you better have a pretty good idea of who's better, because just taking the dartboard out and throwing it and hoping this guy, you know, you could get GMs and head coaches in here that suck, and then the Eagles could go back to what it was like in the late 90s before they got Joe Banner and Andy Reid in here. Because I remember what that was like, Joe, and so do you.
No, I did too. All right, a fired up Ross Tucker. I like it. We'll react to all that up ahead. Joe DeCamera, John Ritchie, what do you make of that? Plus, at 1:30 today, another opportunity at 1:30 for you to win a Nest Audio from Google. Be tuned at 1:30. Joe DeCamera, John Ritchie, Ross Tucker with us, fired up on 94 WIP. Hey, no one does football like FanDuel Sportsbook in partnership with Valley Forge Casino. If you've never tried FanDuel Sportsbook, here's something you won't want to miss for Week 7 of pro football. Right now, new users get an exclusive plus 1,500 odds boost on either team in this week's division rivalry game between New York and Philadelphia. You heard that right. You can bet $10 to win $150 on either team to win. And with FanDuel Sportsbook, incredible odds are just the beginning. They've got a simple app, live betting on every game, and exhilarating bet types such as same-game parlays, where you combine multiple bets from one game into a single parlay. And once you win on FanDuel Sportsbook, they'll get you your winnings in as little as 24 hours. Download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and use promo code HAMMER. That's promo code HAMMER to make your first deposit to claim these great plus 1,500 odds boosts on either team, Philly or New York, to win Thursday night's primetime matchup. Promo code HAMMER to get involved with it all with FanDuel Sportsbook. More ways to win.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.